You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. Visit us at mashthosebuttons.com.
And welcome to Double Tap, of course, another episode, another day. This is a Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. I am, of course, your first host, Jeremiah Meza Ward, and I'm, of course, here with Gabriel Static Gorilla Medina, the AEW champion, the worldwide renowned podcast host.
Yeah, Static Gorilla, baby. Sorry, I'm a little on the hype train from the AEW announcements and All Out, or was it All In, All Out? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's hype. But we are here at Double Tap. What's up? How are you doing?
I'm good. Unfortunately, we're not going to have Dre today. Right. Crashtag's kind of work overload, but we're going to hold it down for you guys. Unfortunately, we're not going to be live for, of course, which would have been a 72nd live podcast. But unfortunately, we will be doing still a podcast. So on, yes, you know, Labor Day weekend, this is going to be episode 234. Just getting up those numbers higher and higher. And of course, thank you guys for listening and tuning in. And of course, this is a podcast about fighting games, anything and everything about it. We try to cover as much as we can, as well as give you guys more information than most podcasts that don't always talk about everything fighting games. So,
and we are weekly.
Yeah, finally. constantly. No, I prefer being weekly. It's easier to keep up with everything. It's too much. That does happen. There's not enough sometimes. But guys, thank you again for watching. This is, of course, a podcast that helps out new players, old players, advanced, intermediate, you name it. Maybe you might just want to get somebody who's never played a fighting game into it. This is the place to come to do so. Of course, we love when you guys give us reviews, comments, and tweets. We'll, of course, plug the social media outlet at the end of the show, so you guys have to stay tuned to hear that. But yeah, I guess we could just jump right into the Fighter's Corner, kicking it off with the fact that Melty Blood has their live pre-orders. So if you're looking to get into Melty Blood, type Lumina. The pre-orders are live as of September 2nd, but do keep in mind, it's only pre-orders for everything but PC.
Oh, word?
Yeah. It's kind of sad, because like everybody's expecting the PC. Like they're like, oh, is it going to release on the same day? But it still is going to come out for Steam. But as we know, some people like to get a hold of the game when it's in pre-order format and kind of do some things to get it earlier than they should. But the biggest thing is Steam does not actually allow companies that are not verified with them to publishers not to set up pre-order. So since it's not going through, I believe it was Arxis or something like that before, it's going, I think the publisher is different. But it's still French Bread. It's just, I think, under another publisher. I have to look. And that's why it's not going to show up on Steam pre-order. But you will be able to pre-order it for PS4, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One. I'm kind of concerned that you might not be able to pre-order it on PS5. So if you got rid of your PS4, you might not be able to. But I think that's still something we got to check. So hopefully we'll know when somebody goes and look.
The other studio, I think, is the one that, is it Cero or something? No, not that. What's the one? Type Moon? Oh, man. What's the one with, Ono-san visited? Or is
I think that's like Cero or Type 2 Moon.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that. They didn't do a pre-release. Like I said, it's different this time around. I think French Bread is working with a different company to publish it.
Yeah.
So that's where we are seeing that they can't essentially put it out the way they want to. So I'm actually looking now, and it seems like the people who published the original Melty Blood, so the developer was French Bread, but the publisher was Arc System Works. I'm looking on their website to see who's publishing it. So it's Type Moon, that's the company, but I don't think they're saying who's publishing it.
Okay.
So I'll have to look more into that, but I believe I was told it was under a different company. That's why they can't publish it, which is fine. You know, at the end of the day, I know the game's still coming. It's under the Lightworks. That's what it was. The Lightworks company. That's why they don't have that access to do a pre-order for it. But who knows? Maybe kicking this out might be a little bit better for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like I said, it's one of those things where publishers, that gets all like wonky, who publishes it, who has control over it from a higher industry point. So just because you're a developer, there still needs to be a publisher you go through. So Arc System Works might have too many things on their hands to like put down for the publishment. So that's a good thing that they're going outsourcing. Maybe this will be better. I'm not sure what Delightworks has done. It seems like they did Current Code, I believe, from what I'm looking at. So I think, see, it's under Arc System Works. See, this is the thing. It gets a little wonky. Supposedly King of Fighters producer and the publishers. See, the publishers are different. See, I don't really necessarily know how deep this goes, because it could be tied in all in one thing and connected in some ways. Maybe it's like a sister company to the bigger one. But yeah, anytime I look up Delightworks, I'm not really getting much from that. So who knows?
Okay.
But not only that, for Melty Blood, yes, they did also release a new character over the weekend. Character's name is Noelle. I think it's a very basic ass name, but yeah. Hey, what can you do? I was expecting something more like extravagant, but I will say she looks good. She looks like she will be a good addition to the game. I had some gripe at first because I thought she had armor in one of her movesets, but I was wrong.
What's wrong with that, man? So,
no, you can't have... I don't like a lot of games having armored moves, because essentially when it's armor moves, you know it's going to be annoying as hell to deal with. But she seems good. She's the only character with an actual weapon in hand.
Reminds me
a little roast beef.
Who?
I was just going to say roast beef, a.k.a. like... I can never say a name. She's the one with the... It's not a violin.
Oh. I was thinking of Grand Blue.
You were thinking of Grand Blue? Really?
Yeah. The girl with the Chun-Li... Well, I call her the Chun-Li moves because she has stabs and she has the stomps type moves.
Zeta?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I can see the resemblance.
I mean, yes.
Her moves look like roast beef a little bit. We call her roast beef. I know it's like roast beef or something like that. It's something really German, I believe. But yeah, she has like a lot of the same movesets. So I wonder if she is part of that like schooling, like musical section.
It looks
like a smaller version of the cello or something that she has or whatever.
Oh, I don't know. But it's just, I mean, she's wearing the same sort of outfit as Seal is, as you can see in the trailer. But man, the style is, it's kind of, I mean, is she like a, I don't want to say it.
Say it.
A hot nun?
Like, wow.
I was going to say another word, but it's cool. It's just because she's
like for the church, man.
Well, she's got the necklace on. She's like, it's like she's with the church, or would you say maybe with like she's the conjuring type dude type thing going on. I don't know, but just like, it's just weird how you can see them both sort of covered up and it's just like skin and it's like kind of distracting.
I feel like this is going to be the character, if you play this game, she's just going to scare you just for playing it.
Oh, no. I'm probably going to play her because she looks really cool and kind of my style and sort of reminds me of Lychee. I did main Lychee in the second iteration of BlazBlue, but I say that lightly. Like, I mained her in the game I barely played. But, I do like this sort of style. And there's that one move that had like a little bit of a delay on it that was pretty sick.
She like steps on it and then like kicks
up. Yeah, that was pretty cool. It's like, bam, all right, counter hit, you know? So, I don't know. That was pretty early into the trailer, I'd say about 20 seconds in. But your impressions?
I mean, she reminds me of like a little bit of, like you said, Lychee, a little bit of Mai Natsume from BlazBlue. Very, very strong resemblances of those characters. But at the same time, like I said, she's kind of like, to me, roast beef. And for those who know Melty Blood, you'll know how she plays. She has a lot of she has some charge moves, just like everybody has them, but she was kind of big on that, like with her charge punch. It would actually send you flying to the wall, like as Hokuto no Ken or something like that. There's a lot of cool move sets that are similar. So that's what I'm saying. I'm seeing that resemblance. But I think she's going to be a good character. I don't know how to feel about that, though, because she's one of the only characters. Outside of Kohaku, she's kind of one of those only characters with a weapon that you have a lot more range on. So I'm curious, and it's Reese, I'm going to try to say it best, Reese Beef Strideberg. So Yeah, that's the character I see resemblance to. We just call her Roast Beef, man.
Okay.
but they are part of, obviously, this is a different arc, I guess you could say. So it's good to see a new character. I wonder if we're going to get some more new characters before we see maybe an original character. I don't know too much about Lumina's story, but a lot of people are saying that it somewhat goes hand in hand with the actual light novel. So maybe that's what we're going to start seeing more characters. If people read the light novels and kind of go with that, that might be the easiest way, but there's a possibility for a lot of characters.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, this is a pretty cool take. I don't think I've ever seen it before in the lore that is in my head for Melty. So that was kind of dope. Speaking of pretty dope, were we done, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of dope, we did know Ash was in KOF 15. However, real quick, going back. When is Melty Bell released? The 30th of this month?
It comes out the 30th of this month.
Wow. Okay. That is quite soon.
I will have it for PC if anybody wants to know. I will not be buying it on anything else but PC.
Yes.
So unless it's just the player base is mostly on PS4, but
yeah,
I would prefer everybody buy it for Steam or PS4.
Yeah, same. So by the way, KOF 15 Ash Crimson trailer finally showed. Now we've been seeing Ash in the last full trailer for the game that we saw for what was the game show thing? Gamescom? Yes, that's the one. I almost said Tokyo Game Show.
I would say GamesCon instead of com. Because it's like, it sounds like, oh, whatever.
I never said it before. So we have the trailer. By the way, new stage. Looks fantastic. Looks like a straight up out of like Pokemon or something. Like the Alola types. Is it Alola type? I don't know. Sword, yes, Shield Aloha. Had snow type Pokemon, I think. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I was going to say a bunch of different things, but we're talking about KOF. Yeah, Ash looks kind of cool. What do you expect? The outfit sort of matches how cold it is in the stage. The blowback doesn't look like the most terrifying thing. The CD button. What did you get from the trailer?
New outfit. I'm not the biggest fan of this outfit. Right. And Ash looks taller and just looks a little bit different. I mean, it's 3D, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to get used to that. The outfit's definitely a little bit different. There's right. a little bit of homage to some of the things that you saw in the original costume. I like the introduction that they produced for us, where you kind of see like the arms and the legs, but you don't really see Ash until you see Ash. But I like a little bit of the special effects. I think they're kind of cheesy. I feel like Ash's arms are kind of long.
It's the hands.
There's a lot of weird things.
It's the hands that are huge.
Yeah, I mean, Ash has always been like that, but
I don't know.
He's got the huge wrists,
like the huge sleeves always, but it's those hands. They're like as big as, what's her name's hands? Who's the boxer chick?
Vanessa?
Yeah, thank you. The effects look kind of weird. The last game Ash was in was 13, I think, right? Wasn't in the last one, I don't think. But, 13. Yeah, slight, not really a big change to the moves set, but yeah, those effects, I like how effects can be very unique to a character, but like those green, I mean, it doesn't look terrible. It's just, and when you said tall, the reason is that I think the game is just zoomed in more.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's zoomed in, but I'm also say all the characters look like longer.
Right.
It's almost like they spread them out, but it's okay. I mean, Yuri seems different.
Now I think you've opened up what I think I found my problem was with the game. When I saw the UI, I felt like the UI was too big, honestly. But I think what you just said about the characters being too big is what actually happened. Is that, you know, because it's probably zoomed in a bit more, that, you know, the UI sort of gets in the way almost. Or like their feet, or maybe like the floor of the game is like too close to the, I need to go back and look at the trailer to see exactly what the heck I'm talking about. But yeah, I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really like the UI.
The UI is okay. I mean, it could get some work done to it, but it's still SNK. They try to keep it simplistic. I'm fine with the way the UI looks. It's very simple, straightforward. But something I did notice is Ash kind of can do a lot more now. It seems like after CD, it's pretty much CD, grounded CD. It seems like it wall bounces. I think that's cool, but I just saw a super after, and I was just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, like I said, we still have to wait. We've seen some of the mechanics used in the game in the trailer that we saw the previous week, I believe it was. It's enticing, but like I said, I still feel the game. At one point, I felt the game looked really nice. Now, after seeing this trailer, I'm a little hesitant. Maybe it's the animations.
Maybe it's the stage.
It could be.
Yeah, stage only has like two things in the background going around. When you have the big arena stage, you have a lot going on, but it's not as distracting, or it's not as one monotone color. Not like the volcano stage in Street Fighter 4, or that ice stage being all blue in this game. So, I mean, you know, it could be that. And I think I was looking back at the old trailer, or the previous trailer for last week. And yeah, maybe it's just weird to see their feet sort of right behind the meters. Now, we have games that are like that too, you know, but like, I don't know if it's for me, I would prefer them a little bit lower. I don't know. That's just me looking back at last week, but I might just be picky. Now that you said the characters are big, I'm like, I never noticed how big they were. It's sort of like when I went back to Injustice and I noticed how those characters were super tiny. And then I
was just playing Injustice. Yeah, that's
and
funny.
I look back at Mortal Kombat and I'm like, oh, those characters are different heights.
They're huge.
Like, yeah.
They're huge.
Right. Well, because of the interactables, they had to be sort of in the way. I don't even know about Injustice 2. I don't remember if they were too tall or not. But yeah, Injustice 1, I go back and it's just so tiny. Like, think about, what's his name's house? Bruce Wayne's house. The Wayne Manor?
I was just fighting on that stage.
Yeah, friggin' tiny.
Yeah. The motorcycles are bigger than them.
Exactly. Everybody could, well, either throw the motorcycle or get on them. But I do like the Ash trailer. I mean, at this point, I'm expecting a trailer every week, but I was more like expecting a new character. Like, I can't wait to see Kay's trailer, and then I can actually take a look at that and, you know, say my piece. But hold on. If you can pause at about 39. Nope, too far. Where is it? 32, is it? Nope, there's like a Dowson ball. Does he have a Dowson ball?
Sorta.
At 38.
I know what you're talking about. It's kind of like where he places on people after it's an EX version. Yes, and kind of like, oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, or is it?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Or is it more like a Melia utility?
No, it's more like a fireball. So it's kind of closer to Saki, but it's the explosion, I believe, from when Ash does fireball up close, regular fireball. Here's the thing. I'm not the biggest Ash fan. I'm more of a Saki fan, so this is kind of to me. I've never really cared about Ash, but I could see where they kind of took some things from both and tried to make it as close as possible to what they want for Ash, but maybe add a little bit of remnants of Saki. So like, you're not going to see the same combo routes. You're going to see differences. And that's why I'm not too sure if I enjoyed this trailer. This is kind of like a whatever trailer to me, but it's good. It's good.
I want to see more of, I'm good with like a character every week. We've been getting that usually, but I kind of want to see if they're, because you have Chris in the game. You have, those other characters that we've seen as EXs. I even think we've had Ash as an EX character before. But I'd like to see more if there are going to be variations of the characters. Not saying, I mean, you know, you have the older games that have a lot more characters in them. But, you know, we've already peeked at the character select screen where we get EX. And that was a quick, hold on, did I just see a run-up move at about 58? Did a run-up. Maybe it was one of the max cancels we talked about last week. But that was kind of a sick extension. But anyway, I think it's... I still think it looks good, but man, those green thingies are a little weird. I don't know if you can see what I'm seeing, but what, like the green effect on him, I guess that causes a sort of like type of effect. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I don't know.
We got more. We got more to see. Yeah. Next. What is it? February.
I know
17th,
it's usually just
right?
the way it looks, but
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I will say the fireballs are a lot faster. It seems like the movesets are faster. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it reminds me a lot of O2 on the speed, and I obviously will know when we get our hands on it.
Yeah.
But with that being said, Ash Trailer is out. You guys can go check it on the official website. It's pretty cool. Or on their YouTube. I think this game is going to do pretty well for itself. I would highly suggest keep an eye out for more new characters and original characters coming out. But that's going to be it for KOF. We're actually going to still, I think we should. We're going to still hold off on the Dragon Ball FighterZ patch notes.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot to it, guys. I know you're looking forward to it, but we're trying to get a specific guest on it. So you guys can kind of get the whole ins and outs and maybe even some of the crazy nonsense that's going on. All I can say is watching that game is wild, but I'm not touching it. I thought about booting it up. I was like, I'm going to go play Tekken or like Injustice 1.
I got in a little bit, but it wasn't like to a huge margin. Like, I'm still using a terrible team, like Cell, Hefla.
Cell's not that bad.
And he's Cooler. Got some... But that's
Cooler's dope now.
But I don't know what's dope about him, so I don't know what to do.
You got to go watch. I'm not going to tell you. That's you got to go watch. It's more entertaining that way.
Yeah.
But with that being said, we're going to jump right into Tekken 7. This is going to be the last thing of our updates. Mm-hmm. Tekken 7 dojos are officially announced for this up and coming, I guess you could say, month. So, or rather week. Right now for North America, we have September 7th, which unfortunately is going to be tomorrow. So you guys will actually be hearing this as it's happening on Fighting Game Works. That will be Tuesdays in the United States. That's strictly to North America. And then September 9th is Chitek Online PC. So it's going to be on the PC. I think all these are going to be on PC. I'm pretty positive. So I'll double check for you guys, but I'm pretty positive all of them are going to be on PC. So with that, September 9th, Chitek. September 11th, Xbox Tournaments Dojo. So that's on Xbox. We obviously know that. Then the 12th is Iron Main, which I don't know what that's going to be on. You guys can actually go to the link. I could tell you now. They're not telling me what that one's going to be on. I would imagine PC. But yeah, that's something for you guys to look forward to. Then Central America on the 11th, you have the Divine Cup in Mexico. So that is strictly to Central American players online challenge for Tekken. And then Tekken Online Challenge South America, which will be September 10th. And that will be Circuito. I don't know. Did I say it right?
Where are you at?
Circuito?
Circuito.
Oh, really? That's how you say it?
Yes. Circuito. In Spanish, you have to say, like, everything is spelled out the way you got to say it.
Just okay.
Little lesson for everybody there.
So it's like etapas. Did I say it right? Etapas?
Etapas? Like appetizers?
No, E-T-A-P-A.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant etapas. I'm like, yo, I'm hungry. Etapa, that means like level 5. Dude, it was probably the 5th stage or something.
That we just learned. Mm-hmm. We just learned some Spanish today, guys.
Yeah. Etapas is more like, there's so many different dialects of Spanish, but yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be on the 10th for you guys for Brazil. That's South America only. And then September 11th, you're going to have the ITSTTK tournament Chile. So you're going to be able to check out all these tournaments, I'm pretty sure, throughout the whole week. You guys, if you love Tekken, this is something worth watching. If not, and you prefer to play, sign up for one of these. Try to keep it within your region because these are region locked. Something to look forward to. I'm excited. I love some Tekken. So that's going to be enjoyable to watch. But that is going to be it for our updates. I know it wasn't much for the Fighters Corners, but guess what, guys? We got a ton for the randoms of the FGC. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't know what the randoms of the FGC is, it is where we go to the wine cooler, we go to the snack bar, we get all the good things that we like, and some of the things that we don't.
Yeah, Meza shares what he finds on the internet.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm excited for the first one. Do you want to go with it? Because I love the first one.
This is something. The first one is the memory that we've said at the start of when this game first started coming out. We've got move lists that were announced on the Twitter for Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl for Mr. Bob of Sponge. If you didn't know, that means that's SpongeBob SquarePants. And for Patrick Star. Is that how you say them? Is it like Ryu Star? Or no, I'm kidding. Let me see here. So I want to open this image in a new tab so I can zoom in here real quick. So we're looking pretty Smash regular, like you know, you have your horizontal punch, which you don't push in any direction. We got an up kick, which is, looks like an up tilt type of move. Floor sweep, side kick, and I don't know what that is. That jump and button? Do you see that? For
side kick?
For yeah, SpongeBob
that's
side kick.
That's probably neutral jump.
Regular jump and button. Yeah, that's, button. That's okay. Neutral jump. He's still got an up kick in the air and a downswing. I thought it was a jellyfish net, but let me not get ahead of myself. A spin attack that is just like a jump. Is it jump button?
You said
I got
to
figure
attack.
Out what that is.
No, spin
yeah.
attack is running. Spin attack is running.
Oh, running attack. Okay, yeah. All right, I'm blind. And
see,
then
this is why I'm the commentator of yeah. this game that I need to be.
So
like, I know what's coming.
So it looks like there's a special button too. So definitely Smash cloned. The special button is a net. The up special button is a what is it? The sandy smack. The sandy I guess the glove. He has imagination clap.
You gotta say karate. It's karate.
Oh, karate, I'm sorry. Uppercut. I didn't even
remember?
Read the move. My bad. Karate uppercut. Oof. That episode was hilarious, by the way.
Yeah.
Imagination clap. That is straight up Shang Tsung friendship.
Dude, I can't wait for people to get the eye clap. That's all I'm gonna say. It's terrible. It yeah. sounds terrible. I'm excited.
Aerial jellyfish swing and karate uppercut in the air. Imagination kick. Running slip. Those are all moves that he can do. And what is that? You just mash a button and you get the bubble blow? I wonder what
that is actually gonna be special attack. That's neutral special attack.
Oh, okay. My bad. So then those other moves must have been like, I guess, hard press?
So, yeah. So, from what I'm getting, there might be, because remember, this is going to be a little bit different. Right. And they aren't trying to completely run a pre-clone of Smash. Right. So, what I'm getting is they have a light attack, we have a strong attack, and a special attack.
Oh,
so, it's probably going to be
sense.
Three different buttons,
yeah.
which is a little bit different than Smash. Normally, Smash has two buttons. Some characters have more sensitive buttons. So, the harder you press.
Yeah.
The stronger of an attack, so that's like Ryu, Ken, more of the third party characters from other games. But I love this. I love what's happening here.
What's
man.
My man chomping in the last move? Down B or down special?
I'm not too sure.
It's like the one meme where I'm gonna put my mic far away. Here he'd be like, he don't miss. You know, so like that meme. So
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, SpongeBob out here. I had to hope that didn't like burst out the eardrums of our pleasant listeners. So Patrick Star, I heard Staryu moves.
Patrick got the sauce.
He's
all
got
right?
the sauce. He's got the secret
sauce
on the burger for snack yep. time. Yo, does he have
he
laser
a...
toot?
Yep,
laser.
All right, let's go.
Please explain
it.
To me, Meza, because I don't think I can handle this.
So his first move is a light attack, which is just neutral belly bump, which is neutral attack. And then he has after that snack time, where he pulls out a Krabby Patty, which is going to be your up light attack. So these are all light attacks right now. And then you have one of my favorite moves, the toot laser, which is going to be down light attack. He literally shoots a beam.
It better be the most busted move ever.
There's nothing. And he looks angry. I don't know why.
He's got a struggle. He's struggling to push it out.
Hey, SpongeBob, toot laser.
You want to see my toot laser? Oh, man. But then he has slide kick, which is going to be a jumping light attack. I'm not going to call it neutral attack. I'm going to call it what it is. It's just jumping light attack. And then you have aerial snack time, which is going to be him doing jump and up in a light attack, which he just does the same thing as snack time on the ground, which is pulling out a Krabby Patty, put it up in the air. Then he has the downward swing, where I guess he's just doing I don't know. It literally is a downward swing, which is just jumping down light attack. Then he has the Star Wheel, which is just running attack, light attack. And then he has,
yeah.
No, it's Patrick. Everybody's excited for this move. Because this is where he takes, like, is it a cup or a rock? I'm pretty sure it's like a little rock. And he says, Noah's Patrick.
There's a slam in the ground somewhere.
I forgot that episode, but it is. That
I think Event really Hubs posted, no, it's not Rick or something.
Ugh.
I don't know what it is.
That's the episode, I think, where he's, where they keep misconstruing who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, he's on the phone. He calls and they're like, he picks up SpongeBob's phone and they're like, hi. They're like, is SpongeBob? No, he was this is when he's working at the Krabby Patty. And they call and he goes, can I? Somebody's like, he's like, hello. And he's like, hi, is this the Krabby Patty?
Wow. I'm
forgetting the name of the place.
I don't even know. Is this the Krusty Krab? No, Krusty Krab, yeah. This is Patrick.
This is Patrick. He's like, so is this the Krusty Krab? He's like, no, it's Patrick. So I wonder if that's a telephone. So that I'm actually excited about, which is going to be his strong attack, pretty much neutral strong attack.
Yeah. And I can't believe we lasted that long.
I know, right? His upward strong attack is going to be trophy hat, where he puts a trophy on his head.
Is that after his rock won the contest?
Yeah, yeah. And then he has the belly flop, which is just down strong attack. And then star spin, which is going to be really cool.
I'm going to call that the star me.
I like it.
Hey, yeah.
The jumping strong attack. And then jumping up strong attack is obviously aerial trophy hat. And then if you want to smash your way to the win, or rather crash your way to the win, you're going to do the cone crash, which is going to be jumping down strong attack, which is if you ever seen the episode where they're doing the Olympics, the food Olympics, and he head dives into a pool of chocolate. It becomes a strawberry sundae.
Oh, yeah.
Spinning, and then he has spinning lariat, which is a running strong attack.
He's
buff.
He's a grappler.
Is he?
The last three moves, you got the stance B, star slam. I'm already a star, which is like a Luigi missile. And then huge hug driver, straight hug up driver. Zangief. We're gonna call that name SPHD. I don't know. Spinning hug driver. I don't know.
The Patrick HD. Yeah.
Patrick.
That's where it's at.
The PhD. There you go. PhD.
The PhD. Yeah. Oh man, Patrick has a PhD. Yo, let's go.
I've got a PhD in I don't know. Yes,
my favorite.
Oh no, it's Patrick. Huh? That's all you gotta say.
What was the rock move again?
No, it's Patrick.
I think it's a phone. I want to say it's a phone, but I'm gonna say it's a rock. But it's hilarious. I think this game
is rock won a snail contest, the snail race. Yeah,
that is true. Who would have thought?
Right. You know, who would have thought we'd be talking about SpongeBob and Patrick Tech?
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, great. We already saw CatDog. We're waiting on some more movesets to come out. I believe. I actually think CatDog's moveset was not released yet.
No, this but is the
we are
trailer,
looking yeah. forward to it.
We were talking about how hard it would be to pick which side CatDog would be facing. That's kind of cheap.
I mean, it's one of those pseudo characters like Ice Climbers. Who knows? Might get even more complicated.
Right.
But yeah, guys, that's gonna be it for the Nickelodeon All Stars Brawl. Next in the randoms of the FGC, something really cool. I actually was really excited about because, you know, my mentor, as well as other people that I know that are going to be playing not only Injustice, but also Mortal Kombat, this whole series called the Coliseum, which I believe it's presented by Hitbox. I don't know who else is behind it, but it's really cool because they're bringing back a bunch of old players. And I don't know if they're mixing it with new players, but the Coliseum Rewind, they're getting players for these specific games, but right now, currently, Mortal Kombat 9 is one of the bigger ones that is being looked at, having people like Mike Metroid, Forever King, Costner, Tyrant 9, Wound Cowboy, and many more. But that's not what I want to highlight. What I want to highlight is the fact that Hitbox is doing this really cool event for the Coliseum, and they're bringing back the opportunity, kind of like how we've seen older games get that resurgence, and it seems like a one-time one-off as an invitational. So let me just tell you, they have some invitationals, which is Mortal Kombat 10 for Brazil, and Injustice Gods Among Us Invitational, Mortal Kombat 9 Invitational, Mortal Kombat 11, which already passed for North America, where the Mighty Unjust won that, Mortal Kombat 11 Europe, where Rothor just won that, then Injustice 2 North America, CGL Tweety won that. And Justice 2 Europe for Shore 7 won that. More Combat 10 EU and CIS. So I think that's like Central something. Won that. Little Man underscore 1996 won that. And Mortal Kombat 10 North America Unbearable Skill won that. So we still have three more tournaments to watch. You're actually, I think they postponed Mortal Kombat 10 Brazil for today. So you guys will hear about it tomorrow. They should be playing today as we speak. September 4th was their original date. But we got Injustice Gods Among Us Invitational on the 12th, which we know, obviously, Forever Kings and that, as well as, you know, people like Dark Hammer. We're going to be seeing make a resurgence. And then Mortal Kombat 9 Invitational, which is going to kind of round it all up September 19th. So if you guys have not seen it, any of the matches, make sure you go back, check it out. I got to tell you, I'm excited for Injustice Gods Among Us. I know me and you both played it. I wasn't the best at it, but I know we both competed in it. What's up? How you feel?
Well, I mean, I think Injustice definitely needed a resurgence. I mean, 100%. I think, I mean, not just because I was like good at it, I think, but I think it was, yes, it was cheap at the start, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. Nerf Superman.
Yeah, Nerf Superman.
Or 2-3.
The problem where the big characters had access to the big interactables. There was a lot of cheap stuff.
Unblockables.
But, yeah, but take all that away and, you know, yeah, the unblockables, the doomsday stuff. If you follow Rio, who's not in this list, oh god, Batgirl glitch. I mean, take away those characters, which will always be there. The game's fun.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say Injustice 2 cleaned up everything, but is not as good. So me, I love Injustice 2 because it feels a little bit different, a little bit faster. Has better character, in my opinion, has more characters.
Right,
but it took out a lot of the other characters. Injustice 1 still is technically the better game.
Yeah, but I would think so. And then there's also, like, if you watch those Rio videos, some of those things, they're not extremely hard to do. You know, like the whole doomsday cheap stuff and like the high low thing, like, I don't know, maybe it was the fun part was the challenge of trying to find out how to beat these super cheap characters, especially Martian Manhunter. That stuff is
ridiculous. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah, so I don't know, there's a lot of things to go into there. Still, I had fun with the game, and I think because the cheap stuff is not that, you know, hard to do. I don't think
everyone's accessible to it. You know, it can do it, so it has accessibility.
Except for your girl Zatanna.
Oh man, we're not going to talk about it. I really wanted to learn her. I struggle.
I remember we were driving to like a Wawa or something, and you're like, "Yeah, man, Zatanna. I know what I'm doing," and I'm just like, "Oh, she's bad, though." But okay.
Yeah, nah. Even if I knew, she air flight cancel combos too much work. Mm. When you could just play Batgirl and just. But infinite somebody to death.
I am interested in the MK9 batch going on. Not just because I'm cool with Mike Metroid, but that just looks awesome.
It's gonna be interesting.
Like the Mortal Kombat 9. When you look back and you're like, yeah, people miss this, and then they show like footage of just like the insane movement of like a Cabal just doing things. Like that is like, you thought Guilty Gear and Marvel 2 were fast. Oh my god. Try having a block button and going up and down and just dodging a grab and all. I have nightmares.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I mean, that's going to be it for the Coliseum. Definitely keep an eye out for that, guys. I kind of give you the dates. I will say again, if you're looking for Injustice, you're going to have that on the 12th of September. Mortal Kombat 9, that's going to be on the 19th. Of course, Mortal Kombat 10, that's already going. And if you haven't, just go catch the rewinds on those. That'd be pretty dope. But no, I did not do that intentionally. definitely check out the Coliseum Rewind. Next up is going to be Intel Scholarships. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but this is really cool because we didn't have this in our time. So Boom TV, they're excited to announce a partnership with That J Justice and to award a $5,000 scholarship for gamers and creators. So even if you're not, you know, the biggest, I would say, professional player, hey, you could be a content creator and still, you know, win this the scholarship. And if you guys want to check that out, definitely go over to Boom TV. They're definitely helping inspire many, many create content creators and professional players who are looking to go back to school or who are in school. And even if you're just someone who, you know, maybe just came across this, and you're like, you know, I'm pretty good at content creating or designing stuff like this. Maybe I should jump into it. So definitely check out the Intel Inspire hashtag Intel Inspires and go, you know, figure out how you guys can get involved too. Or if you know somebody, or if you know kids who are want to get involved or people who are interested in it. With that being said, we just had PAX Arena, which was PAX West Pass. And for Guilty Gear Strive, obviously we had announcements for who was going to be commentating, who was going to be there. They obviously, I caught a little bit of it. Yeah, Alex Correa. I think I said that right.
Sure.
Excuse me if I didn't. Kizzy K, he actually was like, I'm not playing in the tournament, man. I'm coming to commentate, coming to talk some big stuff. They had, obviously, the female caster of many casters, Romanova, which you guys have had, heard her on our show before. Then they had the man, the legend, the MVC2 god, IFC Yipes, out there doing some big things for them, too. And, of course, St. Cola, your CPT, you know, fashionata that's also over there doing his thing, you know, really bringing it. Bringing some hype. I actually saw Romanova and St. Cola on the mic, so that was pretty cool. I didn't actually hate their commentary. Wow. Nah, I like both of them together. It was really good. I personally like Romanova's commentary for Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
she's gotten a lot better for Guilty Gear, but St. Cola has impressed me. I will say that he has finally impressed me. I don't think Street Fighter is the one. I think Guilty Gear is it. But for his hype moments. But that did just pass, guys. So if you thought you were going to be hearing me say, go watch it XYZ date, it actually happened on the 4th and the 5th. So if you missed it, go check it out. Do I give spoilers of who won Guilty Gear, or should I just leave it up to the imagination?
I forgot who won.
I know
who won. I don't know if I saw. Was it last night? No. Yes, it was. That's why. That's why. Okay. So there were two things that my Twitter was going crazy over. Guilty Gear and WWE. So... therefore, I'm sorry, WWE. What the heck am I talking about? AEW. I don't remember, but I heard. I think LK was posting up something. Go ahead and look it up. There was 10K. There was 10K on the line. I did see like certain tweets of people like, man, I didn't even know about this, and they're like, should I travel to Seattle? And a lot of people didn't know about it until like middle of the week. I think. I had no idea about it. So. I didn't even know PAX had an arena. Did you?
Yes, I actually did.
Okay.
I've been keeping up, and I will say this. All right, so for those that don't know, this is going to be the spoiler moment.
Okay.
Okay?
Speak to me.
So if you need your water, go get it. If you need to go to the bathroom, go get it. Spoiler alert.
Hotashi wins?
So, no.
No.
No, not at all. So Razzo actually won. Razzo Sharp or Razzo Sharp, however you guys want to say it. My apologies, Razzo. I know you from Blaze Blue Cross Tag.
Blues Blaze
has done phenomenally coming from Summer Jam. Got third there, only to go to PAX West, aka PAX East, because they wrote the wrong title on the medal. Oh. So. was good enough to go out there and stomp it up and actually won that with Ramlethal. So shout outs to you, homie. You did your thing. Keep it going. You know, transitioning from a different game. It's really hard to do that for most people. So that was really cool. I'm proud of that person for doing that. If you guys don't know, go check him out. He's worth your time. Super sick. But they had a lot of good players there. It's not like, you know, Hitoshi was there.
Hitoshi?
Yeah, I believe so. From what I was looking at, I think it was the last match. I would have to double check. Look, I feel like in my feed, I see so many different Guilty Gear tournaments happening.
Oh, yeah.
My brain's like, oh, I'm done. I'm exploding. I'm literally exploding from too many tournaments. So it's hard to keep up with every single one. I think that was the one that I was looking at, but I can't guarantee to you guys that that's who was also there. I can tell you exactly. No, I can't. I lied. But yeah, definitely go check it out. It was obviously on I believe it was on PAX West or PAX Arena's Twitch. I'm not too sure what the Twitch
it was PAX Arena Twitch. Twitch said TV PAX Arena Twitch. Okay. PAX Arena. Yep.
Yeah, because they had the front page. That's the only reason why I knew. Oh, like, wow. I even saw a little bit more of it. But kudos to Razor Sharp.
21,000 viewers.
You know,
yeah.
I like the fact that we can have a PAX Arena and then the tournaments aren't just side things to the event itself.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit bigger. So that's kind of nice. Say,
because usually you get like, yeah, let's go to MAGFest. Here's a tournament. All right, go to this room and play in those tournaments if you really want to play in those tournaments.
On a 50-inch TV.
Yeah, let's go and play in those tournaments. You have the tournaments over there. And it's like, yeah, we're hyping our little corner. It's like, yeah. When you can actually put a designated area, even like, what is it that the game come? Oh,
we don't have
here?
Enough setups. We'll try to
right.
Bring
what's
more
the
setups?
Gaming convention around here? And too around many here? Games or something?
Too many
and
games.
They have too many games convention. It's like, yeah, go to our game lounge and you can play in tournaments. And it's like
feels like there wasn't man, really that big. Though.
Yeah, like give it. Like, esports is part of video games, and too many games. You know, if people want to compete in their esports stuff, I mean, they now granted, Nerd Street did have some. Overwatch events. I remember helping them pack a bunch of computers to like they had a big Overwatch event and
didn't we do one together?
That was a separate one for well, like Philly. New York versus Philly the one time.
Yeah, that was like out. Philadelphia.
Yeah, but like yeah, but this one was like totally a little different. Like they had a at Too Many Games there was like a stage that they had built themselves as well. Even Smash had like a bigger stage, but nobody was that's watching. Cool. So like, and I say nobody was watching because the event had ended and they were still going with a long tournament.
You know who does this really well, mm-hmm. that it's integrated and it feels sort of still kind of offside, but it's still big is AVGC.
Yeah.
A video game con, which is usually done in New Jersey. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's Dunzo, but they kind of put it on hold since COVID. Great event if you want to check out other stuff.
I've never been to a video game con. I know it was always at the Cherry Hill one, right?
No, is that the usually at like the school?
Yeah, no, I don't think I ever went to those.
I feel like you did.
No, maybe it's
just me. Maybe it's just me. But that's actually where I actually got my commentary real big start.
Like, okay.
Picking up more. And that's where I got good at KOF 14. Mm. I mean, 14, yeah, because I fought King of Dinosaurs. I actually lost to... I got third, I think, in that tournament or second, something like that.
Well, yeah, like if people, I mean, they don't have to go all out, but it's like, yeah. You know, when certain like conventions don't really have like a stage and it's just like, here's people that like to go to tournaments. Just go ahead and play in a tournament. Here you go. And it's just like, man, y'all have nice all this other stuff. You know, you have all these people that are here and they can watch it like a competitive match or even have an exhibition. I don't know.
I think you just need a big screen and a big sign, and then that's the biggest thing for people to get involved. And also have
seating
extra
space.
Tools. Yeah, have extra tools like controllers for people, because some people just don't know to bring your own controller.
Right.
So unless it's announced beforehand.
Some people
so that's
go
a big
to
thing.
Play games.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's set up for, right? You know,
yeah.
I got to play Tomb Raider one time on this like HD 4K 3D monitor, but I didn't have to bring anything. They just had it there, or like Mario Kart, you know, those things.
One thing I did complain about, I think it was 2017 or 16 when I went to MAGFest. I think we went together, right? Where yes. I met you guys down there. Was that like all the setups are like is set up for two people to play and then leave? And I was like, what? Yep. No, this is fighting game stuff. Like if we're gonna have an arcade out here, like. If I lose, I'm getting up and you can stay. Or if you lose, then you're getting up and you can stay.
I think they just consider it as too many people.
Yeah, no, I get
a rotation,
it.
Which is, I get it. You know,
but then old school people that go to the arcade, and I know it's like a rule that they have, but like old school people that like see the arcade, they're going to be like, all right, I won. You get up and you go, you know, like, I don't know.
That's why we got to integrate it into their brains. Mm. You know, even though they say that, we don't care. We're going to do what we're going to do. All right.
Arcade culture is gone. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I mean, look, we can always bring it back. But guys,
that's me being picky. But yeah, sorry, long tangent.
There you go. But that being with PAX Arena, definitely check it out. Worth the look, worth the support. Now moving into the Game Hers Awards, which I'm going to briefly just touch up on because there's a lot that you can check out. Unfortunately, the nominations and period of voting is over. The finalist starts September 13th. So I think you'll be able to vote for the finalist, or that will be the finalist that we see. But keep in mind, this is 2021's. This is strictly for females. Yes, females, transgenders. et cetera, et cetera. This is where you kind of give them the platform to be voted in over other females or transgenders to progressively shine a light on that, a spotlight on the community, which is good. I think it's a really supportive way to do things. I think not enough people know about it. So it's like kind of one of those under the rug things, and it needs to be bigger. So there are a lot of categories, guys. I'm not going to go through all these, but let me just tell you the main categories are esports, game development, content creation, charity, and marketing, and rising stars. So there's a lot of things to be inducted into, to be supported. And, you know, there's some people you might know that are in this, and some people you might not, that you might see, you know, on a bigger screen sooner or later. So that this is really cool. I think this is a really good way to support the females in the community in general, and also many other genders. So keep it up. Keep it up. I think it's going to go a long ways, especially if we can make it bigger and more noticeable for those who aren't aware. Now, with that being said, moving to the next thing, which is something I was a part of. If you guys did not know, the Morris Cup qualifiers did happen for EGL for Naraka Blade Point, which was backed by 24 Entertainment. Big tournament. Like I say, it was done so far so okay. It wasn't the best, but it's a good start to the structure. I think it needs to change, but that's my opinion. Overall, it was a good tournament, good casters, good production. Little short on some ends. It was only, I think, two matches that we saw for the competitive teams, but that was only just qualifiers. So we might see a few more hours length long for that tournament, which only started at like 6:30 or 5:30, which led into about 11 at night it finished. So that was pretty interesting to see. Now, the final thing in randoms of the FGC that I think you guys are going to be really entertained by, because if you're an old school player and you like some old school games like I do that are not easily accessible, Flycast Dojo GGPO Test Build 3 is now out. It does have Optimus Wave and Dreamcast support, which means you could play games like Hokuto no Ken, King of Fighters, I believe that's 11, the Rumblefish 2, which I like the Rumblefish 2. We always have it at Big E events. Samurai Showdown 6. And, of course, one of the sickest games that people always talk about, want to see a brand new version made, Power Stone. And guess what? It has rollback. And I believe all of them do. So that's really cool. I saw some people playing Power Stone. It was really cool. Remember to go support. That was, I believe that was on at Blue Minder. I think he does coding and music. So that's really cool. But that is also his project for Flycast Dojo. You can also go in, if you go onto the website, onto his Twitter, you'll be able to actually check out a few more ways to get more involved and be able to update your BIOS and ROMs. He has a full breakdown on frequently asked questions. He also has a breakdown on how to actually get the program itself, Flycast Dojo itself. These are all great things for the community. Definitely go check it out if you want to play some old school games with your friends. But that's going to be it. I mean, did you want to say anything about Flycast? Because I know I haven't tried it. Have you tried it at all?
No. I play, I haven't played in a while. I do Fightcade with Street Fighter 3. I mean, that's probably the only game I'm playing on there. And also, where do I have it? No DC Bear for Marvel 2.
Okay.
And whatever else I want to play. Like, No DC Bear has so many games on there. But for Rollback,
Does that have online?
Yes, I can play Marvel 2 online. Okay. Yes. But at the same time, this looks actual GGPO and Rollback tested and all of that. I just know that No DC, I can just play the game online. I don't follow for Rollback, but obviously with how Guilty Gear is doing and other games are doing with Rollback, it's obviously the better choice, so to speak, with online. I mean, we're looking at Street Fighter and there's a little bit of angst with that. But I don't run into too many problems with Street Fighters online, but You see Tekken has issues. You see that other games do have issues. Now, I just think that, you know, people complain, oh, CFN this, CFN that. I think it's more just the way that everything's set up with how they're just, I don't know, Street Fighter, I just feel like their matchmaking is weird. I can elaborate that on a different day. But I'm glad because I want to try out Hokuto no Ken. Did I say it right? Yeah,
Hokuto no Ken.
That's literally how they say it. I want to try it out, but I'm also scared because Infinite's, but, you know.
I mean, well, you know, you got to get hit a certain way. And right. You know,
is Giorno in the game? No, I'm just kidding. Probably is, right?
We will find some time. Maybe we'll do that next week and do that early.
It is Fist of the North Star, right? Like that. That's what
Yeah, Fist of the North Star, basically.
Okay. Don't basically me. Is it or isn't it?
No, it is. It is. It's okay. Just Octonal Ken. Okay. It's just Fist of the North Star.
Okay. And if Giorno's theme is in there, I don't know. I digress. Yeah. Somebody's gonna correct me.
All you have to know is you are shocked. Okay,
I just remember you could just jab in the corner until they die forever.
No. There's setups for that. But I will say this: the moment you get hit and you have no more stars, and you hear the din, 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 that means you died.
Oh, that's right.
Like that means you died. Okay, instantly you died.
The sound effect. You hear that sound? L.I. Joe's following, or was it the subscribes sound effect?
Yeah, and they're like, you are shot.
Yeah, da, da, da.
Okay. Yeah, that means you died.
Okay.
But guys, that's gonna be it for the randoms of the FGC.
How random was that?
Oh, it was super random.
Okay.
It was everywhere. I love it. But we're gonna close it out with our focus attack. Unfortunately, just so you know in advance, we don't have a community question or any mod highlights. But this is kind of a focus attack that I wanted to kind of bring up because I've been dabbling in different communities and different games have different things. I want to know, is RNG bad or good for fighting games? Do you want me to go first or you want to go first?
You go first. Where'd you get this idea from?
Okay. So I've been thinking about it. There's characters like Faust. You know, we've seen characters in the past that have like Teddy in Persona 4 who have these natural instincts to... Like they have a rotation. Some have a specific rotation, so you always know what you get. And then some are random as hell, like Faust, right? So I was also playing Naraka Blade Point, and there's a lot of random things that pop up in that game too. So there's across the board, I was thinking, oh, well, what about like something like Smash when you have like items on? It's random as hell too. Is RNG good or bad for a fighting game? So I know for most fighting games, we don't like anything that controls RNG. Right, we like things that are straightforward, same damage across the board. Mm. We don't like random. And for those who don't know what RNG is random number generator. So it's where you get something randomized out of a category of things that maybe you are doing. So
to be more clear,
go ahead.
If you're playing a card game or even a card game in real life, there's a random chance of what you're gonna get. So when you like draw a card, but you can manipulate RNG in a card game by making sure that you can either draw, or I'm thinking of Hearthstone specifically, but like,
or shuffle, look
shuffle, or get specific, not even shuffle a specific way, but for Hearthstone, it's just try to wrap your deck around trying to get something every turn. Now, I mean, that's regular game stuff, but with Faust, you don't really have a chance to manipulate it unless there's an actual way. Like, does it? Is there a specific way or no?
So, no, there isn't. But the most simple way most people will see manipulation of RNG is by just constantly putting stuff out there.
Right.
You would think you don't get the same thing twice, but it doesn't always work like that for at least Faust. But I know with Teddy, you always get the same rotation in Persona 4 Arena. So a lot of players will manipulate the RNG by constantly using specific things to get to what they want and then fight around that and then use it in a combo. And then they get the successful combo that they always want.
Yeah.
But with that being said, that's why I posed this question. And for me, I think RNG goes both ways. It's good and bad. Some RNG is good, such as like I play gacha games. I like RNG because I want to pull. I like it when I pull the best character I can and nobody else does. But I also don't like RNG when I can't do the same thing. Because it doesn't allow me to. So that would be something of that category. Now, I think RNG is good. I think RNG is good. We see it in various fighting games. and RNG can definitely depict whether or not we see amazing moments sometimes, or we see some life fails in fighting games.
Right.
But RNG is very hard to manipulate and very hard to control at the same time, from both standards, from developer standard standpoint and also from a competitive standpoint. But I ask you guys, and I ask you, because I'm curious what everybody else thinks. Okay. Because I'm a person who likes RNG, considering I play mobile games, but I also hate it when there's no longer a skill cap for it, right? You know, it takes away from the skill gap or skill cap for the players.
But okay, so my thing is, I'm thinking about which characters are literally random. Because I even thought of Smash. Like, you have Game & Watch, you know, you can do the nine hammer, or you have Luigi who can do what Patrick was doing earlier, the missile. Missile is just random. It can boost you, you know, forward B. It can like straight up missile you from far away, or it can end, you know, you can charge it and do it regularly. You think of Faust,
do you want another character that might help?
What?
You can use Hero from Smash. He's pure RNG.
What's the RNG? Oh, because the
moves, when he cycles down through his skills.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And that's really RNG. Yeah, you're right. But then you've got like I'm thinking of Marvel 3, and there's not really you have Hisenko, but Hisenko depends on it's not exactly what the time is, because the time moves so slow. But I think it's at any time in real seconds is how much, or maybe in the frames, because there's a way she has an infinite, but she's still bad because she has to manipulate that RNG to be in the exact frame to get the star that does the confusion or the stun. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So the thing is, like, she's still bad. Faust, he's still, I don't want to say not bad, the best. But he's not good.
He's not the best.
Right. Then you have...
Depends on which game you're playing him in.
Yeah. But then when there's RNG and you have like... Now Faust, I think... Is it Nage? Nage he's using Faust? Nage is a smart player I think Faust players can get the most out of the RNG if they're constantly doing it. Every move they make, every knockdown they do is, here, boom, I make this item. But don't forget, this item specifically, I can, because I saw I threw out this item, I can make sure I know what I'm doing next. Like, I find that fantastic. That's one of my favorite things about Faust and Faust players is that when they throw out an item, they have their plan to do what to do with that item. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that's like a totally different level of layers. That's why I don't think he's bad, but I think in the right hands, he's the scariest character.
How about we take it a step further before we like kind of give everybody a general idea of some more things.
Mm-hmm.
We probably see the most RNG in fighting games when it comes to stage select for 3D fighting games and Smash, right?
Oh yeah.
If you think about it, Tekken, you have stages without walls, you have stages with walls, you know, Smash, you have certain leveled stages from Battlefield to non-Battlefield. Melee is a little bit more prominent in stages that are completely RNG, like confusing as hell, because maybe your character doesn't do what other characters does on that map, but you don't know if you're gonna get it. So that's one of those things. Mm. But we also see it very heavily in from Tekken 7, Virtual Fighter, Soul Calibur is a big one. 3D games, we see it mostly, but we also see it in Injustice 2 with interactables. Technically, interactables are RNG based. Whatever stage you get, you might not even be able to utilize that tool like other characters, where they can, like, such as, you know, Batgirl, who can constantly keeps killing you from using a gadget projectile. So those are also things. So as well as, like, we'll look at something like Virgil Super, right? Kind of RNG based. You know, if you get the right hit at the right spot, you can relaunch for another one. That those are really cool aspects of RNG based things. I will also say, if you guys haven't, we also are going to have a link. There's a website that I actually found, surprisingly, called medium.com, and the writer D'Angelo Epps.
Mm-hmm.
He made something called Encounters of the Random Kind. If you guys haven't, you should take a read through it. It's really good. you know, he explains exactly what RNG is. He's basically the best way to put it, and I actually like this terminology. He goes, random number generator slash your luck. You're not good at Uno. My RNG just sucks. There you go.
Oof.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well,
so
yeah.
Yeah, go, no, I was,
no, and that's the one thing I don't like about playing Uno is how random it is. Like, I'm like, how are people good at Uno? Is it just because they, the only part where you can be good or bad at playing Uno is if you say Uno before someone else.
Yeah, reaction.
Yeah. Like, unless, or maybe you're putting down a better card at a better time than someone else. Like, I don't know. But then it's like, when you want to talk about RNG in a two-player based game, like, isn't your opponent a random option? Like, you throw a fireball, depending on what they want to do, there's three options. What's the choice? Like, they can jump, they can block it, they can eat it, they can deflect it, you know? Like, it, and when we talk about, like, oh, is RNG good? So when I'm talking about in the aspect of the characters I was talking about, I don't think it's good because those characters were still the lowest of tiers. You know, Luigi was good because of his other aspects, but when you're trying to get back on the stage and you overshoot, you probably shoot over FD and then you get on the other side of the stage, and then get either knocked out or something. But, I don't know. It's a tough question, but you know, is it good or bad for the game? I don't know. It's sort of like the underrated, overrated sort of argument we've had before.
I mean, it is, but you have to think of it as it's been incorporated into fighting games for so long, right? Since Super Turbo. And no, 50-50s are not considered RNG. That's just you getting 50-50 and guessing wrong. Soul Calibur. Good example of RNG is when you use Reversal Edge. Mm. Now you're in an RNG situation. Ha ha. Well, you got to guess.
Well, I do
rock,
like
paper, scissors is RNG.
I do like the when you brought up the stages, because you know Street Fighter and Marvel don't really have to worry about the stages, but sure. You know Tekken, you have to pick random. Smash, you don't pick random. People, it depends on the tournament. Like you can pick the stage, or even like if you do like, oh, I want to pick Battlefield, but then you're like, all right, random Battlefield, doesn't matter where we land, but still the underneath the stages are still weird. I remember Pedro, aka Papa Pun, I'd go to the tournaments and he was talking about how so many people get Lylatted, but you had stage selects and you can pick the stage what you wanted, and since Lylat wasn't banned, and if people didn't ban Lylat, like me and Pedro would always ban Lylat because you could,
it's sometimes a risk.
Yeah, you can always, if you try to reach for the ledge, you just get stuck under the stage. And I mean, he picks Ness. So you have to, you know, PK Thunder, get back on and, you know, either die.
It's
or
very specific.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And especially if you're off screen and can't see where the thunder is, then, you know, a character's weird. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's RNG in when you're, you know, making a prediction, making a hard read. Like that's a random thing. Like I try to do command grabs. No, all right, that's,
you can't,
that's
say
not,
it's random. Oh, see, because so that's just a bad. We call those just reads. Remember, RNG is not a 50-50. Meaning, it's not something you have to. Technically, it's not guessing off of something like a jump and mix up. I'm not going to consider that RNG.
Okay, I see.
Because that's just, you should know better.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be. You shouldn't do that. Like, put yourself in a position. You're either going to block or you're going to block. Most stuff isn't even... Sorry. Like, somebody does a jump in overhead, you're just like, okay, I'm blocking high, and then they're like, all right, what's the mix-up? Grab or crouch low? And you're just like, well, there's options for that. It doesn't matter. Like, Street Fighter 4 basically eliminated what we would consider 50-50 mix-ups or anything like that. I consider RNG things that put you in a situation of rock, paper, scissors, or more.
So the game of DOA. There you go.
Yes. Yes, DOA is
the
ultimate RNG.
Or RPS, sorry. Like, I said RPC. I can't spell today.
Yeah,
RPS.
It's RPS. But there's RNG within those things because now you're playing this mode where there's lots of options and you don't have a way to minimize or a way to effectively say this is a good answer no matter what. Like something that's out of your control almost. So you can't decide what that person does.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you look at stages, we can't, neither player can decide. So I kind of like chalk RNG up into things that we don't have control over in the same scenario, constantly switching or being a variable, right? Yeah. So like stages and interactables, they're always varying per stage. You may not get the same stage. You may not get the same interactables. You may not have the same interaction with the interactables as the character that you might like playing versus your tournament character that you're going to play. So various things like that. Like I said, I don't feel like RNG is bad. I think RNG has created a lot of our systematic format for fighting games. You know, Smash. Smash is one of the biggest ones. But I'm going to end my note on that because I want to hear what other people have to say. I guess you guys can kind of turn it into a community question and tell us what you think.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm just curious what people think about this, because I thought of this for a while as kind of like a scary thing, but I'm like, wait, it's in every fighting game. I just don't really fall into it, you know? I don't really think about it like that. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, damn, do we actually hate RNG or do we like it?
Right. Like, and then, I mean, I guess what I call it is more like rare instances, or, oh, that's like super rare, that doesn't happen, or... I don't know, maybe it's a percentage thing for me, because when I think about like Peach picking up a turnip, you know, you
That's
get
RNG.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you have a 10% chance or a 5% chance or 1% chance of getting the death turnip, you know.
Think of it like gacha games, right? Yeah. You only have 0.00001345 whatever percent is pulling a character.
Percentage of catching a shiny. I'll tell you what though, like 30. I don't get it in like I would say in like those other, like in, if you're talking about speedruns, like I don't get it in like RPGs. I love hate RPG speedruns like Pokemon, but it's like, man, the game is so slow.
Based off of, so yeah. I'll put it this way, and this is just for you guys who don't know, a lot of other games, just combining it all together, a lot of other games outside of just fighting games have elements of RNG, such as, let's just use Final Fantasy VII real quick. I watch a lot of those speedruns. There are frames that if you land on at the wrong time or attack on at the wrong time, you will not get the same damage value that you do if you land maybe one frame or two frames early or press it at a specific time for certain things. There's also even scenarios and within the game world where you'll see, let's say, like Resident Evil 7. If you're speedrunning that game, there are RNG-based scenarios. Better yet, Resident Evil 2 or 3. There's some scenarios where some zombies may not appear based off of RNG. I think one of the biggest ones is Resident Evil 2, getting the Magnum or the rocket launcher.
Yeah.
That's randomized. There's no way to tell. It's just based off of how your run starts and whatever you get.
Yeah.
Like, and then you have to alter it. So those are forms of RNG. And we see a lot of that appear in fighting games, just more subtle. So it's kind of interesting to think about.
Interesting, I think. No, I'm just kidding. No, I do agree. It's just a different take that I've never really sort of seen. I mean, if you want to talk about real RNG, let's just while playing, and I'm going to end here, while playing Eno, does the HCL hit? No, but I can tell you what's permanent. HCL sucks. You know,
I'm sorry for
horizontal
you.
Horizontal chemical love is so bad to the point where Golden Lewis can just run right under it.
You know what that is?
What is it?
That's RNG based, the fact that you picked at the screen and you picked based off of what you liked instead of what wins.
Now you're losing me. But that's a discussion for another
week. I'm kidding. That's not even RNG.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to tie it together. It didn't work out.
Oh, my God.
But
well, yikes. No, yeah, the move is terrible. I think she needs it buffed. But Faust, if there's going to be any other characters that's like that, I don't know how Jacko goes, but. With the amount of stuff that she's putting on the screen, no doubt that it can, you know, things can always go wrong at any point.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's characters who have things that are randomized, such as False or Teddy. Those are the type of characters you're going to see a lot of RNG play with.
Yeah.
But with that being said, guys, if you think you have a better, you know, explanation of what RNG should be in games, and if it's good or bad for us as fighting game players, by all means, throw your take in there. I know people play Fortnite and other games that have RNG in it now more than ever. give us some references that actually, you know, correlate to the same situation. But with that being said, unfortunately, we do not have any mod highlights. We will be having, hopefully, Dre back on the other show, the next show, to get some mod highlights for you guys. But we are going to throw that in there as the community question, is RNG bad or good for fighting games? With that being said, guys, that is going to be the end of the show. We're going to round it up with saying, of course, thank you guys for watching and listening. Unfortunately, not watching this time around, but normally if you were watching. But thanks for listening. And if you guys are ever interested in showing us some true love, make sure you check out my Twitter, which is MezzaFGC, @MezzaFGC on multiple platforms, as mainly Twitter. And where can they find you, Gabe?
Yeah, @StaticGorilla on Twitch and Twitter and YouTube. I rarely post videos, but they are there. Some of my old videos from my old account.
And of course, you guys can find us on Mash Those Buttons. You can find us at Double Tap FGC on Twitter. If you guys want to directly message us or send us messages pertaining, or tweet us if you like, pertaining to the games or the episode. As well as, don't forget to check out mashthosebuttons.com /shows/doubletap, where you can also watch more of our stuff and get more in tuned and stay up to date with things. Also, if you like, check out the MASH Network at MTB. So that is the MASH Network at the MASH Network for Twitter, if you guys want to check us out and show some love to the whole network itself. Of course, if you want to get more personal, join the MASH Those Buttons community Discord, where you guys can do @MASH? I guess, no, it's just MASH.GG Discord. A.MASH.GG Discord /Discord. You can go to the MASH Discord. You can talk to us personally, you know, do the community question, maybe meet some of the other people on the other shows for Overwatch or anything of that sort that you guys would like to do. And don't forget, guys, make sure you also hit us up for questions, comments, whether it be on iTunes or even if you want to on Spotify to support. It does go a long ways, and we usually read out your comments. So all love to you guys. We appreciate that. Also, don't forget to make sure you share with friends, families, you know, anybody that you don't know. If you're at a local and you want a new beginner player to get more in depth with the whole scene itself, you know, show them Double Tap. And maybe they might just be interested in showing some more people. You know, like I said, we always word of mouth. Let's keep that going. But let's keep supporting each other and supporting the scene so that we can keep getting bigger. Of course, guys, don't forget to rate and review the show on all the platforms to show us some love and support. And, of course, support the Mash Those Button Network, as you guys will be able to afterwards tune in and still check out other Mash Those Button Network shows that you might be interested in other than fighting games. And guys, we appreciate it very much for listening to us. And we are going to call it quits there. But we'll be back, of course, next week to give you guys more updates and, of course, some more exciting news about the FGC, whatever it may be.
Made it rhyme. That's dope. Take care, y'all. Have a great one.
Oh, yeah, have a great Labor Day.
Yeah. Or it's already happened. See you next week. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.